Council will please come to order, and if everybody could please find a seat. Not usually used to musical accompaniment, Carla. Welcome to Portland City Council. Mayor Adams is delayed this morning, so in my capacity as the president of the council, I'm going to start things off, and then we'll ascertain whether he'll be joining us for our first time certain. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman? Leonard?
Here.
Adams?
A quorum is present. For those of you who are new to City Hall, we begin each session with communications. Anybody in the public can sign up for 3 minutes, and they can come and share anything they want with us, I suppose within some bounds. And that's how we begin our meeting. So, Carla, would you please call communication item 273?
Request of Amy Boggs to address council regarding entrepreneurial small business story.
Welcome. All we need is your name, and you have 3 minutes.
My name is Amy Boggs. I run a small business.
Move the mic over just a bit. Yeah.
Okay. I'll go again.
You go.
My name is Amy Boggs. I run a small business called Sparkling Palaces, Immaculate Home Cleaning. I was here a year ago. And I have been running this small business for almost a decade. I am a college dropout. I don't have a degree. I have never even written a resume. So the fact that I have been running a small business for a decade is incredible. We have an office. We have a fax machine. We have 4 employees. And yet, at the end of the day, I still wonder if I have a real job. And so I'm a do-it-yourselfer. I started a small business, and I took it as far as I possibly could on my own, reading books, getting whatever information I could, trying to apply it to my small business. And about 4 years ago, I hit a wall, and I just couldn't go any further. So all that ambition, all that drive, that desire to start a small business, it was going to fail. And I stumbled into the Small Business Development Center, and I have been working with them for almost 4 years. And I had no idea how many resources were available. I started taking QuickBooks classes, small business management, advertising and promotion, and I just ate it up. And I started working one-on-one with advisors. And my business started to change, and I started to change. So today, when I think about my advisors, they have transitioned from being my coaches to being my cheerleaders. And when I think about my progress, see, the problem is it's hard for me to see my own growth. But I have these folks that have been working with me at the SBDC for the past 4 years, and they say, this is amazing. What you're doing is successful. And what I did was, at the end of last year, I sat down with my advisor, and we looked at my numbers for 2011, and we had growth, and it was just steady. And then we looked at 2010, and it was steady. And I thought, yeah, I've been working hard. I'm glad you can see that. And she said, but we've been in a recession. You know, this is a big deal, right? And I was like, oh, see, I miss that stuff unless my advisors pointed out to me. So she let me do my happy dance. And the next thing she said was, it's time for you to grow. So we have been working on putting together a loan proposal, which will triple our sales by 2014. We will move from 4 to 16 employees. And every time I sit down with the loan expert and I think, this is too hard, I can't do this, they say, look how far you've come. You can do this. So they are my cheerleaders. And at the end of the day, they're the ones that tell me that I have a real job. Thank you.
Amy, congratulations. But before you go, Commissioner Fritz has a question.
Could you please tell us the name of your business and how people can get to find out more about you?
It's called Sparkling Palaces, and you can find us online at sparklingpalaces.com.
Well, we hope this becomes an annual ritual. We enjoy hearing your success, and we look forward to you prospering as we go forward. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you so much.
Carla, would you please call the next communication item?
Item 274, request of Phoenix Lacks to address council regarding transparent information on available art contracts.
If you could leave it with the clerk, Mr. Lacks. Welcome to City Council. We just need your full name, and you have 3 minutes, sir.
Check.
Good morning, mayors and commissioners. Thank you for having me. My name is Phoenix LAX. I am the artist that was commissioned 3 weeks ago to do the Black History Month Pop Art Landmark Show downstairs, which was not funded by any company or organization, but was brought together by regular community members like myself. Since then, I have been hard at work building my legacy to put my art up there with the Andy Warhols, Jackson Pollocks, and Pablo Picassos. I have started a company, Conflict Diamonds, where I, as a commissioned artist, work with companies and foundations to expose their sole purpose and brand message. Then I throw a red carpet art show where community leaders are invited to speak about what it takes to be a mayor, commissioner, teacher, art director. My company pushes boundaries at each art show to become an interactive event where people get to be a part of a new art movement, to get to meet the leaders of today and tomorrow. As a young Hispanic community member of Portland, it has been hard to access most art information, but for example, when City Hall is hosting an event that may need artwork, it is usually not made public knowledge, which does not let other artists such as myself have a fair chance at getting contracted. But then again, life isn't always as easy. One has to fight every day for what they believe in the most. As a young artist, businessman that has taken my art to the next level to help companies and the youth, to teach them about art that matters, and always a percentage goes to foster kids to buy them everyday necessities like art supplies and school supplies. So you can find some of my art this month and the next at the Artist Repertory Theater on the topic race. With that said, I would like to thank you all so much for allowing me the opportunity to show my artwork last month downstairs. I would greatly appreciate it if you guys could point me in the direction of organizations or people that could help my company as well as my art touch kids' knowledge and, you know, just raise awareness about the arts. In the coming years, I will work on making Portland, Oregon, the art capital of the world next to France. Thank you.
Mr. Lax, I have some good news for you. It's going to be very easy today to point you in the right direction. And if, in particular, I just want to ask Eloise Damrosch if she'd raise her hand. And she runs the RAC. And perhaps either someone from her team or Eloise could talk to you after today's presentation and get you tracked. Thank you for coming before us today.
Mr. Lax, before you go, could you spell your name so that people can find you on the web?
Oh, Phoenix LAX.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Carla, could you please call the next item?
Item 275, request of Robert E. Shannon to address council regarding lane changes on Holgate Boulevard.
Good morning,
Mayor.
I wish the mayor was here, but he isn't.
Mr. Shannon, welcome. All we need is your full name, and you have 3 minutes, sir.
Okay. My name is Robert Shannon. I live in Damascus, Oregon. I haven't been here for quite some time. And the reason I'm here is I'm concerned about this Holgate Boulevard from 92nd to 122nd. Now, over a year ago, they've taken the two outside lanes and turn them into bike lanes. And now here lately, as you cross the overpass from 205, they put in an island for left turn. And the people were complaining they couldn't get out on the Holgate, you know. Well, now it's going to be worse. Well, since they've got that lane down, you know. And I got a little something here. There's some businesses along there. The place I do business with is auto repair shop. And he told me, his name is Dave Lentz, he's lost about 50% of his business. There's about another four or five down the road, you know. But I don't understand why these bicycle people need all this lousy. I mean, where I live, they're out there on roads that don't have any shoulders. And they shouldn't be there, dark clothing, and at night and any time of the day, you know. And I live close to 212, but that's no place to ride a bike, you know.
Have you had a chance to raise your concern directly with the Portland Bureau of Transportation?
Well, I've called the county and I've called different ones, but it seemed like when I call, they put me on hold or they're not in their desk.
Well, before you go today, why don't we give you a contact person where you could either send an email or make a phone call? And if you have concerns about safety along that boulevard, I'd like to get you the right person, and so they can then get back to you.
Well, they did have a bike lane along there before they moved it all. I mean, and actually, you go up about halfway, and the road is breaking up right in the middle of two lanes, you know? And it's broken up and it needs to be repaired. It's really bad.
Thank you, sir. Again,
is that my 3 minutes?
You're very fortunate today. Everybody is in the room today, and today we have the mayor's chief of staff who's going to get your contact information and make sure you get a response.
My 3 minutes up?
No, you actually have another minute.
Okay, good. All right. Well, anyway, thanks again. Also, I was talking about the city parking here in Portland. Why in the devil did they ever put it on Sunday, for crying out loud, from 1 to 7? That discouraged people from coming downtown to shop. I mean, they come out to the malls and whatever. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Unless the city needs the revenue, I don't know. You know. Well, that's about what I got to say, I guess.
Sir, thank you for your time today. And if you could talk to the mayor's chief of staff, we'll get back to you on the questions you wrote.
Who's that?
You raised. Thank you, sir.
Paul, right there.
It's my pleasure to turn the gavel over to Mayor Adams.
Get up now.
Who has joined us. Mayor, welcome.
Thank you, sir. What item are we on?
We're now on 276.
All right. Good morning, Carla. Can you please read the title for communications, item number 276?
Request of Francis Betts to address council regarding Welcome Home Coin Project.
Francis Betts. Oh, here we go. Welcome, Mr. Betts.
Good morning, Mayor. Can I put these up here? So you
yeah,
can see
of course.
It? This microphone?
Yeah, that way we can see you on camera.
Three minutes,
starting now.
Okay. Good morning, Mayor Adams, councilors, and citizens of Portland. My name is Francis Betts. I live at 7620 Southwest Sage Place in Beaverton, Oregon. I'm here today to encourage the City of Portland to honor Oregon vets who served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and to bring special attention to the veterans who served in Vietnam. I am a Navy vet who served two tours of duty in Vietnam, 7 years with the 1249th Combat Engineers, Oregon National Guard, and the father of a son who served three tours of duty in Iraq as a Black Hawk pilot. His service to our country inspired me to create Welcome Home Coin Project, which you can see on the signs. To honor him, the members of his unit, including Oregon, and all veterans who served in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Vietnam. As chairman of the Welcome Home Committee of Beaverton Post 4617, Veterans of Foreign Wars, and a life member of VFW, I believe that this unique project is worthwhile and deserves as much time, energy, and devotion I can rally to achieve a positive result. As a nonprofit 501c19 service organization, it is important that we serve our fellow veterans in this unique manner. On February 16, 2011, Senator Burr of North Carolina introduced Senate Resolution 55 designating March 30th as Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans Day. The resolution passed unanimously on March 4th, 2011. This resolution encourages state and local governments to establish Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans Day, March 30, and the people of the United States to observe such day with appropriate ceremonies and activities. Additionally, Governor John Kitzhaber signed Senate Bill 74 on March 30, 2011, making the 30th of March every year in Oregon Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans Day. Last April, I designed a special Iraq Welcome Home coin and received funding for the first 500 coins from U.S. Bank. On September 17th, three managers and I presented my son and 250 members of his regiment Welcome Home coins with a handshake and the words, "Welcome home. Thank you for your service and sacrifice." As of today, I presented the Iraq coin in Washington, Oregon, and California. In addition, surrogates have presented this coin in New York, Virginia, North Carolina, Alabama, Florida, Utah, Texas, and Arizona. In conclusion, I hope that the citizens of Portland will help make March 30, 2012, and every March 30, a special day for our veterans. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir, very much, and really appreciate all your efforts in this regard.
Thank you. And I've had Carla present the coin so you could see what the coin looks like.
Right.
On Monday, I was able to order an additional 500 Vietnam coins thanks to a generous donation from one of my members of my post. She donated $500, which brought me over the $1,720 I need to buy 500 coins. So hopefully I will have those coins before March 30 this year.
And how much are they each?
If you buy units of 500, they come down to $3.44. So the company's been very generous with us. The medallion on the front, the great seal, mm-hmm. has eight colors. They donated all the extra colors.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
I'll give it. All right. Next item is item number 277. And, Carla, if you could please read the title.
Request of Kate Anderson and the students from Sabin School to address council regarding arts education access.
This was my greeting committee this morning. It was a very good greeting committee. Hi, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Wow. You even do it in unison. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the city council chambers.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning, City Council.
Good morning, City Council.
Good morning.
Good job.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the City Council chambers. You see yourself on TV? Yeah. So the trick is not to look at it. Yeah. Sometimes we do that, too. Yay.
All right, and we've got a song for you.
Excellent.
Are we ready?
Thank you.
Yeah! Wow, you all were fantastic. Fantastic. Is this the first time you've all been on TV?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. What do you think so far? You like being on TV?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to just stay here all day and be on TV?
Yeah.
Yeah. Be careful what you ask for, because local democracy is many things, but not always scintillating.
Thank you very much.
This class has written you all thank you letters.
Oh, hi. What's your name? Yancy. Very nice to meet you. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
What's your letter? Go ahead.
Thank you for your great work. Give him one more round of applause. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to see you on TV, I know. That was fantastic. All right. We'll now consider the consent agenda. Does anybody have any items to pull from the consent agenda?
Yes, Mayor, I had a request from a citizen, Brenda Hyatt, to pull item 286.
So item 286 is pulled. Can you please read the title for 286, and we'll consider it at the end of the regular agenda.
Extend contract with G4S Secure Solutions USA, Inc. by $1,616,819 to provide for uniform security officer services.
Unless there is anybody else that would like to pull an item from the consent agenda. Carla, would you please call the vote?
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. We have three time certains, beginning with the 9:30 time certain. Can you please read the title for item number 278?
Accept report on the state of the arts from the Regional Arts and Culture Council.
Please come forward. Welcome. Welcome back. Nice to see you all.
Thank you very much. I'm Carol Smith, and I'm privileged to serve as chair of the Regional Arts and Culture Council Board.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. Eloise Damrosch, Executive Director of the Regional Arts and Culture Council. Good morning.
Good morning.
And I want to introduce Johanna Kim, who is generally fabulous.
Generally, as in all around.
Always. Yes. This is the last State of the Arts presentation to this mayor and to this city council, and it seems entirely fitting to thank you, each and every one of you, for truly unprecedented support for arts and culture in Portland. In fiscal year 2012, the City of Portland is making a critical investment of $6 million in the Regional Arts and Culture Council to serve city residents through the arts. This morning's presentation is designed to show you a few of the things that have been happening as a result of your investments. And a little later, we'll draw your attention to some important unmet needs in our community. $2.2 million of your investment directly supports grants for nonprofit arts organizations, artists, and schools throughout our city. Major arts organizations like the Portland Opera, White Bird Dance, and Oregon Children's Theater receive about 2% of their budget from RAC. That's low by national standards. Arts organizations use these funds to pay artists and other personnel who bring music, theater, dance, and art into our neighborhoods. In all, RAC supports about 175 nonprofit organizations, and here you can see the impact of this sector. 43 of these groups, including the Oregon Symphony, are participating in Arts for All, a a program that provides deeply discounted $5 tickets to low-income Oregonians. More than 1,500 city residents took advantage of this program in its first 6 months alone. City funds also support RAC's growing roster of technical assistance programs that help artists and arts organizations learn and network with each other. As just one example, last week, 36 women of color attended a special grant writing workshop presented by Renee Mitchell, created specifically to address their needs. As you know, RAC works hard to leverage the city's investment. This year, we're raising more than $400,000 from the private sector to enhance what you have invested in the Right Brain Initiative. And Work for Art is poised to raise more than $800,000 through more than 70 workplace giving campaigns and other partnerships with local businesses, including Feed the Arts Day with Burgerville a few weeks ago. As you know, RAC strives to be a leader in making sure that all of Portland's citizens have access to arts and culture, and city funds are supporting a new partnership with Colored Pencils that reaches out to artists in communities of color. 32 years ago, the City of Portland and Multnomah County passed Percent for Art ordinances that generate dedicated funds for public art. This year, that ordinance netted more than $1.5 million to add to Portland's free open-air museum for residents and visitors. Here you can see some artist renderings for public art projects that are underway as part of the East Side Streetcar. You can read much more about all of our accomplishments in our annual report, but right now we'd like to take a few moments to focus on the single most significant unmet need in the arts today, and that's arts education. And you heard it right from the children's mouths. Carol?
Thank you. We believe that every single child deserves access to really a complete arts education that has many factors. RAC and CAN have been measuring and evaluating arts education in our community, and sadly, we have to say that the picture is grim.
I think that's a picture of Jefferson
High. Yes, it is. Today in the city of Portland, there are six school districts with a total of over 70,000 students. And of these, 50% attend a school without an art teacher on staff. 21% attend a school without a music teacher on staff. That means no band, no chorus, no orchestra, nothing. The shortage of arts and music teaching is especially stark at our elementary school level, where 81% of Portland's elementary school students will complete fifth grade without attending a single art class. Schools have been creative, however, in trying to fill the gaps in arts education. Parents obviously volunteer to teach art and music in school and some after-school programs. Programs like Young Audiences and others bring artists and musicians into the classrooms. But even still, we really continue to have a lot fewer opportunities for students to build their skills in the arts and in music. The result is fewer marching bands, fewer choirs, fewer student art exhibits, and fewer student concerts. We have examples of lost programs from all six of these school districts. While the goal is to provide one art specialist for every 500 students, here you can see that our children are being underserved in art, dance, drama, and music instruction. Despite the fact that arts education has been shown in study after study to improve student performance, children who are involved in the arts are four times more likely to participate in a math or a science fair, three times more likely to win an award for school attendance, which we know is a major component of high school graduation, 4% more likely to be recognized for academic achievement, and three times more likely to be elected to class office. And we know, obviously, that leads to really interesting lives, right?
Well, I'll say.
So three out of four.
But without these experiences, sadly to say, 41% of our students are not graduating with their classes. Our community is telling us that we're on the wrong track and that arts education is a part of our solution. 95% of citizens rate arts education as important, and 83% of teachers believe that the arts have a profound impact on student learning. That's why superintendents from across the region are working on solutions to restore arts education in our schools, and we know that the arts are critical to teaching creative problem-solving, creativity, and other 21st century skills that are essential for our children to be successful as workers in the future. Speaking to that point, Sourav Basugi, founder and president of Zeba Design, explains that need like this. He tells us, creative learning opportunities are vital to a well-rounded education and will no doubt lead to the type of innovative thinkers that organizations require. The need for a creative workforce is a fundamental part of the creative economy and the age of scarcity, an era that is quickly becoming the new normal. We invite others to join our coalition of educators and other civic leaders as a part of the Any Given Child program sponsored by the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., where we pledge to provide diverse learning arts opportunities for every child, every day, in every community. One emerging solution that we've been developing with really exciting and great success is the Right Brain Initiative, and I know you've heard about this in the past. Thanks to your tremendous support in the City of Portland and many private funders, the Right Brain Initiative artists with teachers have been working to pair artists with teachers to really transform how teaching happens in the classroom. We look at this as a way to really illuminate lessons to make learning technicolor, just to bring that activity, that energy to the classroom. President Obama has called for more of this type of arts integration into the classrooms across our country, and the Right Brain recently received a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts to support more of this kind of professional development for teachers. We are here to give you a glimpse of how the Right Brain Initiative is making a difference in a classroom, and we welcome Marcela Arriondo, a first grade teacher in the Spanish Immersion Program at Beach K-8 School in North Portland. Welcome, Marcela.
Welcome.
Buenos días. Me llamo Marcela Redondo y soy maestra del primer grado. Trabajo en el programa de inmersión en la Escuela Beach. Good morning. My name is Marcela Redondo, and I'm a first grade teacher in the Spanish Immersion Program at Beach K-8. Beach is a Title I school located in North Portland. With 550 students, our population is diverse. 35% of our students are Latino, while a combined 27% identify as students of color, including African-American, Native American, and Asian. 56% of our population is on free and reduced lunch. With one arts teacher serving our entire K-8, my first grade students receive 35 minutes of formal art instruction a week. This does not include music, this does not include dance. That is less than 1% of their education. For many, the time spent in school is the only exposure to the arts they receive. With limited resources and support, it is difficult to teach proficiency in any content area, and arts are being left behind. All students, and especially my first graders, they learn through creative exploration that is integrated with content instruction. This is critical in language immersion programs because we are teaching language through and with the core content areas. We must shelter our instruction in unique, inspiring, and artistic ways so that our students have equitable access to their education. The Right Brain Initiative offers solutions to the deep needs of my students. Through our artist residency, we have infused not only Latino culture, but respect into our classroom. And this is all through dance. Dancing the merengue incorporates movement, which young bodies need to focus and learn, while also providing music and appreciation of a culture. Merengue has allowed us writing prompts and art lessons, and even inspired a song written by my class about the writing process. That is genuine artistic content integration. And the unintended lessons of respect, I am finding more valuable than my original lesson objectives. Through dance, my students are learning appropriate touch, kindness, and joy for each other. And 6- and 7-year-olds have been struggling with that all year, so it's really been priceless for me in the classroom. Como maestra latina en un programa de inmersión, es sumamente importante aprender a integrar la cultura y el idioma con el currículo. As a Latina teacher in an immersion program, it is of utmost importance to marry culture, language, and curriculum. The Right Brain Initiative provides resources and education to those of us in need while pushing us to think in creative and complex ways. I am able to learn from my resident artists new strategies. I am collecting techniques, songs, and lesson plans that integrate art at every level. This partnership develops and gives my teaching a new focus that allows my students to think in resourceful and imaginative ways. Thank you. On behalf of the staff at Beach and my students, I thank you for being here. Muchas gracias.
Gracias. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Marcella. Beach is one of 11 schools in Portland that are currently participating in the Right Brain Initiative, and our vision is to provide these same opportunities in every one of the city's 105 K through 8 schools at a cost of $1.5 million. Now, many RAC-funded arts organizations have been working for years on arts education solutions as well, including Miracle Theater in Southeast Portland. And I'm very pleased to introduce you to the company's artistic director, Olga Sanchez.
Welcome.
Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, Commissioners. I'm one of the two artistic directors for the Miracle Theater, and honored to be here, a humble example of the many arts organizations in our city that provide and engage in arts education in our schools. Just a little bit about ourselves. We produce works in English, Spanish, and bilingually because we serve our community with our focus on Latino arts and culture. We provide opportunities for Latino performing artists to experiment and grow through training and productions, and we've expanded our work to serve Latino artists of all disciplines at El Centro Milagro. The diversity of our region is growing, and as it does, we receive more and more requests to support the cultural and artistic needs of the whole community, providing the Latino community a place to meet, celebrate heritage, feel a sense of home in public, and share nurturing culture with their children. We take this responsibility very seriously. With 1 out of 5 students in the Portland Public School System identified as Latino, we embrace our charge to support arts education through culturally responsible programming. This is our 28th season. We have a long history of going into the elementary, middle, and high schools with writing, performance, and visual arts workshops, some that last a day or two, some that last months. It's tremendously rewarding to watch students get an idea and develop it into a reality. Not to mention seeing former students emerge into positions of leadership over the years. We all know that arts build stronger students. Our particular focus is to provide accessible forms of expression so that kids feel heard, appreciated, and even applauded for their creativity, for their positive contribution. Whatever limitations or barriers they might encounter day to day, whether it's intolerance, language barriers, or simple misunderstandings, arts and culture provide a place for all children to meet, to share their hearts and minds, to recognize each other's gifts, and to grow together into a stronger, more compassionate community. Our newest venture is Community Artists. It's focused on building relationships with other companies, independent artists, and students of all ages, from children to seniors. Last December, a mother told us that she really wanted her young daughter to participate in our Posada Milagro play again this year because the girl had done it last year. And since her participation, her grades had shot up. And I asked her, are you sure that these two things are related? And she said, yes. Her daughter, she confided in me, had very low self-esteem. But after she had gone through the process of learning lines, performing on stage, and being applauded, she felt stronger. And she wanted her daughter to have that experience again, and her son. These are powerful, motivating things to hear. And we know that we share this experience with many of our fellow arts organizations in this city. We're proud to be a strand of the tapestry of arts education in our community, and we thank you for your support.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Olga, very, very much. Olga spoke about the importance of helping students find voice, and next we're going to hear from Thomas Cordova, who leads up the Right Around Portland project, which is also a RAC-funded project. Thomas, please join us.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, thanks.
Thank you.
My name is Thomas Cordova, and I'm a program coordinator with Right Around Portland. I'm grateful that RAC and the City of Portland support our mission to change lives through the power of writing. 13 years, Right Around Portland has been holding creative writing workshops in hospitals, prisons, schools, shelters, treatment centers, and more. Almost 500 adults and young people take our workshops each year, more than 70% of whom are living below the federal poverty line. One of our long-standing partnerships is with Helens View High School, an alternative public school in Northeast Portland. Last fall, we held a 10-week writing workshop with Helens View students. Helen's View offers services for English language learners, students on probation and parole, students who are parenting, and students whose needs have not been met in other educational settings. The literary arts help students develop higher-level thinking skills, convey ideas, solve problems, and make sense of the world around them. Warren, a student who you'll hear from in a moment, said that writing could be a stepping stone for anything. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce two Helen's View students, Isabel Sanchez-Alves and Warren Gaston. They will both read their pieces that are published in Right Around Portland's most recent book, Blueprint to My Backbone, the title of which comes from Warren's poem. So I'll start with Isabel.
Hello.
Hi.
The name of the piece is called I Stopped Listening. I stopped listening when you said I wouldn't make it. When you said I had to face it. When you said it wouldn't happen. When you said I would be nothing. I stopped listening when you started to compare me. When you underestimated me. When you said I'd just be the same. I stopped listening when you made me choose sides. When you tried to get me against the woman who gave me my life. When you started telling all those unnecessary lies. And even though I'll forever love you, I finally stopped listening when I proved you wrong.
It was beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Sorry, I was kind of loud. All right, so mine is the last. It's just called Ode to Real, and I'll start. I've known Real all my life. Well, Real made me, so I'm from Real. So don't that make me real? I would like to think so. My real is my inner voice, my funny bone, the blueprint to my backbone. Real has been nothing but pure, organic reality to me. But to be straight up, I didn't want to be real for a short amount of time. I didn't want to be real. But the realist never gave up on me. And that's really real. Real, you are truth, faith, honor, love, forgiveness, pride, soul, laughter, knowledge, and wisdom. And I thank you, Real.
That's great.
Thank you, Isabel and Warren, for sharing those amazing poems with us. Very inspiring. Jazz bass player, composer, and singer Esperanza Spalding was raised in Portland and is a product of its Portland schools. She won a 2011 Grammy in the category of Best New Artist, beating out the likes of Justin Bieber. Spalding has described her discovery of the bass as a random occurrence in a school music class. She lifted it up, her band teacher showed her a few blues lines, and she was hooked. Spalding went on to be nurtured by some of Portland's jazz greats, such as Thera Memory and Daryl Grant. Spalding has never forgotten all the help she received, and soon after winning her Grammy, she performed right here at City Hall in tribute to her teachers. I'm sure you remember that. In the following video, you'll hear Spalding talk about arts education, and you'll also see some stark photos recently taken of Jefferson High School's unused band room. City of Rose.
City of Rose. City of Rose. Beautiful. So and her new album comes out this week, doesn't it?
City of Roses.
Just kind of want to kind of get in the mood now, right? Yeah. Now you have heard, though, from a student who really enjoyed a strong education opportunity in the arts. And now you'll hear from a superintendent who is passionate about the need for more arts education and the difference that it makes in a child's education. I'd like to introduce Karen Fisher Gray, superintendent from the Park Rose School District.
Welcome back, Superintendent.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayor Adams and City Council members. As we said, I'm Karen Gray, and I'm superintendent for the Park Rose School District and also on the City of Portland's Planning and Sustainability Commission, a position I'm very proud to hold. This morning, I would like to talk about three aspects of arts and music in the school. One is the importance of arts and music in schools, which we've already heard a lot about. I can't improve on any of the wonderful testimony. Also, to talk to you a little bit about some of the losses that we have experienced in the area of music and arts in our school districts, and also an exciting new something on the horizon that I'm pretty excited about and hopeful for. If you think about what it was that you were excited about when you went to school, I'm thinking that a lot of times it was being able to sing and play a musical instrument or act in a play. And in addition to that would be some of the physical activities that you enjoyed, like PE and sports and dance, and also the social activities that are involved in all of those. Those are the things that keep kids in school. Those are the reasons why children go to school in the morning. For some kids, that's the only reason that kids go to school in the morning, is to be a part of the theater program at Park Rose High School. And I've experienced that in all three school districts I've ever worked for in the last 32 years. Music and arts are good for your brain. They help to develop certain areas of the brain, and even there's research that says that music helps children even before they're born. I just want to pay a special tribute to the testimony by Carol Smith this morning. I really liked her statistics about what music and arts really does for kids in graduation rates, in involvement in schools. Really, this reminds me of the story I use often, is a jade salesman. A jade salesman goes from door to door, but he doesn't really have to say much. The jade pretty much sells itself. Really, when you think about arts and music in schools, it really sells itself. And then I wanted to just also say that Park Rose this year participated in Right Around Portland for the first time. And we had presentations at our last board meeting and have a book that also the title comes from the kids, little kids, little elementary kids. And what an opportunity that has been for our school district. It's just been marvelous, and we plan to continue. But I bring us to the sad case of what we have lost in the last, especially the last 4 years, since the 2008 economic downturn. Park Rose School District and Centennial School Districts have lost half of their arts and music programs, half of their arts and music programs in just 4 years. We've had economic losses of 10 to 12% of our general fund budget every year for the last 4 years. Portland Public School has lost over 28 instructors. That's a lot of teachers that have been lost to music and arts in the last 4 years. We have also lost elementary PE specialists, vocational educators, career technical programs, and all the different shop classes that kids really enjoy as part of a well-rounded comprehensive education. And I fear we've become lopsided. When you're faced with issues around staff cuts, which I can tell you Park Rose is faced with yet again for next year, who do you cut? Is it going to be the high school science teacher, the elementary kindergarten teacher, looking at classrooms of 28 to 30, or electives, and we end up doing the unthinkable, which is cutting art and music, and that's what we've done. So this whole notion of a comprehensive American education is really at risk currently, I believe, if things keep going the way that it's going. But I would end my comments with something I believe to be positive on the horizon. The superintendents have been involved with the mayor's office, with RAC and with CAN, Creative Advocacy Network, in discussion around a City of Portland tax. And that would be a very nominal amount of money per household, which over the years would produce enough revenue to be able to have arts and music articulated programs beginning in every elementary school in the City of Portland. And this would not only bring back certified music and arts instructors, once again, for articulated programs that really produce, like in Park Rose, award-winning, state award-winning programs. But it would also bring professional development to teachers to be able to incorporate and infuse arts education into math, science, technology, reading science, et cetera. And then finally would support community arts work, which if you look at Sacramento Elementary School, just had artists develop a beautiful mural through the Healthy Active Schools grant from the county in their commons or cafeteria. Two artists came in and did multicultural designs of door entryways of 28 different multicultures in Sacramento Elementary School, showing culturally responsive teaching for at least 28 of our 50 different cultures. So in closing, I would just say this is encouraging. This is what we should go after. And this is an ability for the City of Portland to continue to move forward in its support of the arts.
Karen, I have just one question. I've had the privilege of judging the We the People program, and I've seen the quality of your students continue to grow. And in fact, I think last year or the year before, it was voted the outstanding team, a panel in one of our sections.
That's right.
Could you remind us how many young people go to school in Park Rose and how many languages are spoken in your school system?
Yes, thank you for asking, Commissioner Fish. We have 3,500 students in the Park Rose School District. We have 7 schools, including a comprehensive high school. We have 50 different spoken languages in the Park Rose School District. We are 40% white, which includes Slavic nations, and one-third English language learning. And we are nearing 80% poverty on average. We have schools at two schools at nearly 100% free and reduced rate. And we are producing award-winning students in band, choir, theater. Our theater program was selected for a show with on television. And we hope that that will be a partnership with Roosevelt High School. We are producing wonderful things, but if we continue to cut the way that we are cutting, the articulation of starting this in elementary school, going through middle and high school will end. And that's what I fear. We just won't be able to do the kinds of things that we're doing like we're doing with We the People in mock trial.
Thank you, Superintendent.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
Jessica Jarrett's going to join us next. Thank you.
Hello. Welcome. Thank you. Thank you for having me back. I'm Jessica Jarrett Miller, the Executive Director of the Creative Advocacy Network. And as you have just heard, the 6 public school districts in the City of Portland and their 70,000 students have sustained tremendous losses. The Creative Advocacy Network is here to advocate for the full restoration of arts and music education in our elementary schools. We refuse to accept a scenario where our children have fewer opportunities to learn and to thrive and to imagine than we did. With this in mind, CAN has developed a powerful partnership with the public school districts and with the Regional Arts and Culture Council to restore those arts and music teachers that have been lost in our elementary schools. to bridge the public funding gap for our invaluable arts and culture organizations across the city, and to increase access for arts and culture opportunities for every resident, regardless of their age, their income, or their neighborhood. We at CAN could not be more proud to be advocating for the future of this city and to be supporting the incredibly visionary and inspirational work of the Regional Arts and Culture Council, and are so thankful for your leadership and involvement in our efforts. That's all.
Thank you. Thank you, Jessica.
Before we wrap up, I want to just call your attention to some exhibitions out in the lobby. Be sure to check out the We Are Portland exhibit. It's a special photography show by local youth photography nonprofit named My Story. These photographs by local youth capture the faces and stories of a changing city and its citizens. And I want to give another big thank you to Sabin Elementary for coming to sing to all of us today and for their exhibit in the lobby. I would like to thank all of those wonderful speakers who joined us today. You heard some pretty inspiring stories from them. I'd like to thank the RAC staff and board, many of whom are here today, for all their incredible hard work, and all of our friends in the audience, artists, arts organizations, CAN volunteers. We really appreciate the wonderful turnout today. And mostly I want to thank each and every one of you for your ongoing support for arts and culture. We really appreciate you.
Thank you very much.
So I truly appreciate the turnout, and I'm very proud of the City Council for having allocated significant amount of money over the last 3 years because of the recession, as well as in spite of the recession. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate what we're aiming to do in providing more funding within Portland. Can you talk to me about what's happening for Multnomah County and the Tri-County area and your work beyond Portland?
Yes. We have been meeting regularly with all the commissioners in the counties prior to the budgeting process this year. We have really strong support, I would say, especially in Multnomah County. Every single one of the commissioners is very positive about what we're doing and would like to invest more, especially in the Right Brain Initiative. So we're in ongoing conversations with them about some additional support for that program, because they all really believe in it. And they really believe that what kids can be exposed to through the Right Brain Initiative and through the arts in general actually meets some of their mission to avoid having these children end up in their social service programs. We are also working out in Washington and Clackamas County to raise the ante in their contributions, because the good news is that we're finding that arts organizations and individual artists are competing better in our grants programs now, partly through all of the technical assistance, but also just the maturation of the arts community. And if the investment doesn't keep up with that, the artists in those counties will suffer. So we're really working hard, and we're making some, I would say, promising steps in that direction.
Now, are we doing anything at the state level to provide arts education throughout Oregon?
Well, we know that there are programs all around the state that are looking at the Right Brain Initiative as a potential model. I think we need to talk further about how to adjust that model to work in the more rural parts of the state, but it's definitely getting a lot of attention.
Thank you, because I'm concerned that I believe Portland's taxpayers are very generous and do understand why this matters and how it increases graduation rates. We can't just fix it for Portland. We've got to fix it. And so everybody who is advocating to get this first step done, we've got to make sure that we don't stop, that we look after all of Oregon's children in this program.
And we work very closely with the Oregon Arts Commission, the Oregon Cultural Trust, and the Cultural Advocacy Coalition in Salem on these issues.
Thank you. And then finally, could you just give a brief discussion about the equity initiative that you've been working on with the mayor and me?
Certainly. We've been working over the last year and a half to address some of the inequities in program providing in the arts and culture. to the population, and we've responded to the reports that the Coalition of Communities of Color have produced, and we're now working very closely with our friends in the arts community, the organizations and the artists that we serve, around this conversation. We had a terrific meeting just yesterday with a group of about 36 arts organizations trying to answer some of their questions.